You're listening to the Coconut Avenue Radio and Podcast Network. Welcome to Out There on the Edge of Everything, the show that examines, helps you understand, and effectively deal with the interesting edges of life. Broadcasting now from the virtual C344 studios overlooking the edge of Coconut Avenue is your host, award-winning and best-selling author, Dr. Stephen Lesovich.
Hi, this is Dr. Stephen Lesovich out there on the edge of everything. This episode is entitled Interview with Miss Heidi Hemling. Today, I'm very excited to be speaking with Heidi Hemling, a licensed professional counselor from Holding Space for Moms from the Milwaukee, Wisconsin metro area. Welcome to the show, Heidi.
Thank you, Dr. Lesovich. I'm excited to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
You are a licensed professional counselor in private practice specializing in perinatal mental health and support of new parents. Tell us a little bit about your educational background and your certifications.
I completed my undergraduate and graduate degrees at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I have since then also completed additional certifications and trainings that augment the therapy that I support very nicely. The National Certified Counselor certification that I hold is offered through the National Board for Certified Counselors, and that is a national certificate. There are lots of benefits to being part of that organization in terms of trainings and continuing education. And the PMHC certification that I hold is a relatively new certification. It is offered through Postpartum Support International, or PSI, as they are commonly referred to in the pregnancy and postpartum communities. They offer a two-day training as well as an advanced psychotherapy training. Once you've completed both of those segments, you are able to sit for an exam, which then offers you the opportunity to receive that PMHC certification, which stands for Perinatal Mental Health Certified.
Why did you decide to specialize in perinatal mental health and support of new parents in your practice?
I think this happened in a really organic way for me. During my graduate program, I was parenting my first child. She was 6 months old when I started. So I was already navigating a lot of this transition into what we would call matrescence, right? So that transition from being an adult who is not a mother to being an adult who is a mother. And navigating that while being in school had certainly its challenges, but also presented this really great opportunity to dig deeper into maternal mental health, which then spilled over into parental mental health. And the perinatal and postpartum specific areas of mental health really just jumped out at me as kind of just that like perfect niche spot for not only my interests, but I think probably also for where I was in life at that time.
In your practice, you provide therapy for perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. What are perinatal mood disorders and why are they important to recognize and treat?
That's a great question. So perinatal mood disorders, or what we sometimes refer to them as in the therapy community, PMADs, is really anything that falls under the umbrella of what we would once have called postpartum depression. A perinatal mood or anxiety disorder is any disruption to mood or functioning that happens during the pregnancy, postpartum periods, and now as we're learning more, and what literature is supporting is this also falls into other categories that maybe you wouldn't think of, which fall into categories like fertility, adoption, and not specific to only mothers, but also fathers.
You also provide therapy for postpartum mood and anxiety disorders. Why is it now important to recognize and address postpartum mood disorders?
Yeah, so it's very possible that you could go through conception, pregnancy without any mood disruptions. You could be feeling maybe the best you've ever felt in your life. And then suddenly, after labor and delivery, there's a shift in hormones. There are obviously great shifts on your time, your role, what is required of you. And it's important to recognize that in the postpartum period, things can change, sometimes rather quickly. So knowing whether or not you are feeling anxious or depressed, knowing whether or not you are experiencing obsessions or compulsions. One of the most common experiences during the postpartum period is something called intrusive thoughts. These are, again, widely experienced, but for a mother who is experiencing a perinatal mood or anxiety disorder, these intrusive thoughts can feel very scary. They can feel all-consuming. So it's not only important to recognize and address the onset of the postpartum mood disorder, but for clinicians to provide education for the mom who is experiencing this change, as well as providing support and education for her entire support system.
So why is it important for a mother of a newborn to understand that they are not alone if they are experiencing postpartum mood issues?
I think there's really nothing worse than feeling alone. And there are a lot of things about motherhood and the transition to it in general that do leave women feeling isolated, whether that is spending more time at home, maybe you are on leave from your job, but your partner doesn't have the same amount of leave. So it's really just you and baby at home, you, baby, and other children. Some people don't live near their families, and so that support system is lacking. There is nothing worse than feeling alone or isolated, and that's on the best of days, right? If you are also experiencing new symptoms of anxiety, depression, you know, obsessive compulsive disorders, or even things, you know, on the more severe end of the spectrum of perinatal mental health, which could be psychosis, I think knowing that other women have experienced this and are experiencing it right now helps you to know that there is a support system out there, even if you don't feel plugged into one in your home, in your neighborhood, in your community. Thank goodness for the online world and social media. I think that that has helped mothers to feel less alone and has also really sparked lots of education and conversation around what it looks like to normalize the experiences that a woman could have, especially in those early days, weeks, months with a newborn.
You provide therapy primarily to women and mothers. Do fathers of newborn children suffer similar mood swings and anxiety disorders?
Absolutely. It is possible for a father to experience a perinatal mood or anxiety disorder. Research shows that there are different factors that can contribute to this. One is really interesting and looks at how even when mom is going through pregnancy, dad's hormone levels are changing. So there may be decreases in testosterone and increases in things like estrogen. So looking at that and understanding that we know there is a hormonal component to these mood changes, but also recognizing that mom, although she is carrying the baby, and that the birthing person is going through those big physical transitions, the partner is still present for all of the environmental transitions, and they are impacted deeply, not only in their relationship, but in their role and that change and shift and transition as well. So we do know that fathers can experience similar mood swings, you know, anxiety or depression. And a really wonderful thing that we're starting to see more of is group support being offered and made available for new fathers or dads, as well as knowing that they can seek out individual counseling and find support and psychoeducation there as well.
So do you provide therapy to new fathers as well?
I do. I see not only mothers, but fathers. I also provide what I would call partner support. So if dad is the identified client who comes in for a session, or mom is the identified client who comes in for a session, their partner can join sessions where our focus isn't on the individual, but on the partnership and how this transition is impacting it. And then during group therapy, I always make an effort to have at least one or two of our group sessions include a support person. Sometimes that's dad or partner. Sometimes it's an aunt or a parent. And those help to provide support, I think, to the entire system. And remembering dads are a big part of that, right? So new fathers are a big part of that system. And they need and deserve support, just like moms.
What advice would you give to a man whose wife or partner is suffering from a postpartum mood issue?
I think the first thing that I would do is encourage them to trust themselves and their partner and to openly communicate about what they're seeing, what they're noticing, things that are going on either with baby or inside the context of the relationship. Communication is such an important part of being able to catch some of the symptoms of perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. I would encourage them to participate in that mom's therapy process. I would welcome them. I would want to make sure that they know they are invited. I would encourage them to participate. And I think I would normalize for them how common this is. We look at statistics pre-pandemic when we're talking about COVID, and it used to be that we would say maybe 1 in 7 mothers would experience a perinatal mood or anxiety disorder. Now, what we're able to define looks more like 1 in 5. But clinically speaking, what I see is it's probably more like 1 in 3. And dads, I would say 1 out of every 10. So normalizing this, letting them know you haven't done anything wrong, your partner hasn't done anything wrong, this can happen, and here is what we can do about it. Come participate in this process.
In your therapy sessions, you provide person-centered therapy. What is person-centered therapy?
Person-centered therapy is maybe a bit of an eclectic approach to lots of the different theories and schools of thought that exist when it comes to the world of psychology. Person-centered, from the perspective of the therapy that I provide, looks like really building the relationship with the client. That relationship is one of the most important factors for that client's success in therapy. We learn how to communicate with one another. We build trust with one another. There are lots of conversations that sound like, there is nothing that you could tell me or share with me that would surprise or alarm me. I am here to support you. I am here to listen to you. We will navigate all of these difficulties together. Building that relationship really is the foundation of person-centered therapy. Letting that person know they can show up authentically, however they are, whether the week has been good or bad, whether they're able to come to an in-person session or we're doing a virtual session because they are in bed nursing baby and just feeling so very low. Whatever that looks like, my job is to make it work for them and to approach that therapeutic relationship in a way that allows them to feel safe and authentic.
In your therapy sessions, you hold space for your client. Now, holding space for people means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. What does it mean in your practice to hold space for a client?
I think that probably ties into how I try to offer person-centered therapy. For me, holding space for a client means they are able to come as they are. There's no need for communicating perfectly. There is no pressure to present in a certain way, if there was a homework assignment given in therapy and it wasn't something the client had time to accomplish, that's okay. What matters is that they're there. What matters is that they are showing up for themselves. And by showing up for themselves, that means they're showing up for their family too. I think about holding space for someone as the idea of how can I help my client to find the stone they want to pick up that if they were to throw it into the water would cause the most beautiful ripple effect, right? So by them coming and showing up for therapy and I continue to hold space for them, what is it that they are able to offer their child, their partner, their entire family system, because they have been given an opportunity to show up, be authentic, and do the work that feels necessary for them on that day.
Speaking with you so far, you have a very calming voice. And you say one of your goals is to help your clients feel calm, confident, and supported. How else do you accomplish this?
I think there's a really amazing way to join with a client that allows for a clinician to also be authentic. So while I show up as a professional in the session, I'm also showing up as a person, as a human, as a mom, as a partner. While those things definitely inform who I am and how I approach something, I think they also show up in session with others. And I find that that does help clients to feel calm and confident and supported. I also think that there is a level of acceptance and unconditional positive regard that I offer each client in our work together that lends itself well to creating a comfortable and safe environment.
You yourself are the mother of two young children, and your husband is a professional who works in finance. What advice would you give to new mothers to keep everything in balance in their own lives?
That is the question. So I think that there is never going to be total balance, and part of accepting that makes life feel easier. Knowing that you are going to have good days and bad days, you will get to bedtime with those kiddos and say to yourself, yes, I rocked it today. Everyone's going to sleep happy and healthy. Their needs have been met. I feel good about how I showed up for my family and my clients today. And when those days come around, that's amazing. That's great. But they won't always be the day that you've had. So when you have the harder days, it's remembering this is one day. My best looks different every day, and that's okay. I can continue to work toward achieving balance. One of the things I remind myself of, I remind my partner of, and often it comes up in session with clients as well, is when you put your kids to bed, do you feel that you can answer the questions? Did my child feel safe? Did my child feel loved? Yes? Okay. Then it's a win, right? Even if you don't feel like you achieved that perfect balance or knocked it out of the park, it's okay. The next day is a new start. We get to try again. And I think there's something really beautiful about being able to accept the fact that you won't always be perfect. You will not always have balance, right? That's not the goal. The goal is to be present with our kids, to be present in our work, not perfect, present over perfect every time.
That's really good advice, because none of us can ever achieve that perfection that we think we can. Today, I'm speaking with Heidi Hemling, licensed professional counselor from Holding Space for Moms from the Milwaukee, Wisconsin metro area. Heidi, how can people find you and contact you? What's your website and your social media identifiers?
I can be found at holdingspaceformoms.com. And there are lots of ways through the website that you can find me, reach me, contact me. You can find a link to my Instagram profile there. You can reach out using a contact form on the website. And you can also find my email there and send me an email.
You offer a free 15-minute phone consultation. What do you discuss in those 15 minutes?
Those 15 minutes are a great opportunity for myself and the potential client to get to know each other on maybe a surface level, but also it's this great time where we're able to figure out if we are the right fit for one another. I believe part of what makes the therapeutic relationship successful is knowing that you have a good fit. And by good fit, I mean someone that you feel comfortable with, someone that feels aligned with your values and your treatment goals, someone that you feel you can be open with and honest with. And so being able to have a live conversation with someone, even if it is for only 15 minutes, tends to help clients get a feel for my style, my therapeutic presence, as well as helps me to understand what are some of their presenting concerns and am I the right fit for them? If so, we start to move forward through the intake process, scheduling an appointment, getting paperwork completed, and we start to build that therapeutic relationship from the very first moments of that 15-minute consultation call.
What other types of individual services or group services do you offer?
I would say I primarily offer therapy services in an individual way to women and mothers who are navigating a whole host of things, right? So it could be perinatal mental health specific to fertility, conception, adoption, pregnancy, on to postpartum mental health. I would include maternal mental health as well. So maybe we are not pregnant or in the immediate postpartum period, but we have young children and we're navigating what it looks like to find that balance that we talked about earlier and have not only energy for our families and our work, but also our partners and our friends and the other relationships that feel important to us. In addition to that, I do, as we mentioned earlier, offer individual services for fathers, as well as partner support and sort of that couples counseling approach to perinatal mood and anxiety disorder specific presentations. I do some consulting as well as speaking at conferences or offering presentations, and I offer group therapy. At this time, I'm currently offering an interpersonal group for postpartum women.
You also offer a number of free resources on your website for new mothers and fathers. Why is it important that both new mothers and fathers look at these free resources?
I think it's really important to educate ourselves when it comes to things like pregnancy, growing your family, parenting, and what these transitions not only look like, but can feel like. It isn't something that we talk about a lot in our society. It is something that is, I think, sometimes brushed over. And if we aren't able to have these conversations in real time with parents or siblings or friends or other support, whether it's in our community or in our homes, our relationships, I think it's really important to know there are resources out there. There are resources available. There are professionals who can help you navigate these transitions. But sometimes it's scary to pick up the phone and call someone. Sometimes there's a process, right? Like a readiness to change that someone has to go through. And so if it feels more realistic for a new mom or a new dad to be able to click some links on the computer and read some articles and find information there that might jumpstart that readiness to change or that reaching out for support, I think there can never be too many resources from that point of view.
Eddie, what gets you out of bed in the morning?
The pitter-patter of little feet. my kids, definitely, they're early risers. And they are excited every morning to greet the day and find out what's on the agenda. But I think, you know, in an interesting way, it's my work and my family. And there's this sweet spot where those things intersect. And I think that sweet spot is being a parent, being a mom. I love my kids. I think they're so amazing. I feel so lucky to be the person this close to them who gets this like front row seat and gets to know them so very well. And then to show up in the therapeutic environment and hold space for clients and listen to the stories about them and their families, not only their families of origin, but the families that they're growing and raising. It's a really wonderful, beautiful experience. And I feel very honored and privileged to be able to not only experience it in my own personal life, but to be a part of other people's systems and support systems as they encounter these same experiences in their own lives.
Eddie, what's one thing you do on a daily basis that creates a positive impact in the world?
I would say, I think, at least right now in this season of life, it is trying very intentionally to be present, being in whatever moment I am in and being there fully, whether it's good or hard. And there is something special about being able to develop more mindfulness and to feel a greater presence in the moments that I'm in. Also, maybe like more groundedness or being fully embodied. I find that that creates this really wonderful positive impact, not only for myself, first and foremost, but then also for all of those that I interact with, whether that is my children or my partner or my clients or other parents at pickup or drop off at school. I think that has been something that has created a really beautiful positive impact for me. And I know that if I'm taking the time to care for myself, I will be better able to care for those around me and contribute to my community.
Is there anything else you would like to add for our listeners to know about you or your practice?
I think if there was anything else I would want listeners to know, it would be that therapy is an incredibly beautiful way to find oneself, to maybe heal the things that have contributed to some of the hurt or pain that you carry, and can also change how you move forward. When you're able to take wonderful care of yourself, mind and body, right? The whole person, it creates the opportunity to move forward with intention, to move forward from a place of responding rather than reacting. And so while the idea of therapy for some people may feel scary or intimidating, there's still a lot of stigma there, right? Like attached to kind of seeking mental health support. I would say you deserve to be the best version of yourself. So please take a chance. Just try it. Look for that good fit. Find someone who offers a 15-minute phone consultation or some way to really just make sure that they feel right for you. And if you're able to find that and do the work, I promise it will feel so fulfilling and so rewarding, and you will benefit from it first and foremost, but so will everyone around you that looks to you for love and support. It will be wonderful if you give yourself that opportunity. I think that's what I would want people to know.
That's really great advice. Today, I've been speaking with Heidi Hemling, a licensed professional counselor from Holding Space for Moms from the Milwaukee, Wisconsin metro area. It was a pleasure to speak with you today, Heidi. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
If you know any new moms that are struggling after having a baby or soon to be new moms, please have them listen to this podcast. For more information on the practice of Heidi Hemling, please see holdingspaceformoms.com. Till next time, I'm Dr. Stephen Lesovich, out there on the edge of everything.
You have been listening to Out There on the Edge of Everything, the show that examines, helps you understand, and effectively deal with the interesting edges of life. For more information on your host, Dr. Stephen Lesovich, please visit slesovich.com. For more information on prior and future shows, please visit coconutavenueradio.net.
This is the Coconut Avenue Radio and Podcast Network.